My gosh, there's so much going on this planet. Just about can't keep up with it. So we're going to have our special open lines for you for the next couple hours, plus a hotline for you. How long have you ever been on hold? It's got to be one of the most frustrating things. A couple weeks ago, had to make a phone call to a company, and the computer came on and said, "Operators are busy. We'll be right with you." I must have been on for 15 minutes, and they were playing the worst music I have ever heard on that phone line. I ended up hanging up, and then I started talking to people around here about their nightmarish on-hold stories. So that's one of the hotlines I'm going to have for us, in addition to open lines. Let me give you the phone number for that. You can call any number if you want to talk about on-hold horror stories, but I'm opening up this line for you. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. And as you know, we are now in our brand new digital, spanking new studio, and we've hooked up everything. So for the last 6 months, we never had the Skype line working, even though we kept announcing that it was there. It's up and running, and I want to test that too, if you would, because we haven't had a Skype call yet, because nobody knows it's working. It's working. George 97313. That's the Skype number. George 97313. Just want to test it, make sure it's working. I hope you'll have an open line question or comment, but those of you who have the ability to use Skype, let's try that too. George 97313. Okay, welcome back to Coast and Open Lines, and we are going to have a wonderful next 3 months. Let me tell you. Ghost to Ghost will be on Halloween night, Friday, October 31st. And those of you who have a ghost story, I know it's going to be very difficult to get through the lines. We're going to have open lines for the full program with a little ghostly guest the first hour, but there's a special email address for you. Let me get it. It is ghoststory@coasttocoastam.com. Send your name, phone number, and a little blip of what the story is, and producer Tom will get back to you. And if we use your story, he'll have your number. He'll call you during the program because you'll never be able to get through during the regular line. So we'll do that. Ghoststory@coasttocoastam.com. So let's just go to the phones. This is your night, and let's go to Mike, our old buddy. I haven't talked to you in months in Livermore, California. Hey, Michael.
Oh, good morning, George. How are you doing?
Well, I'm watching my Lions go to victory these days.
Well, I figured it was about that time of year. So if your Tigers make it all the way, and my Giants make it all the way, are we on for the usual bet this year?
We will do the bet, which will be a donation to your mother's little efforts.
Yeah,
Tigers
exactly.
got blasted by the Orioles in their first game.
Yeah, I know. And the Giants just beat the Nationals.
Jeez.
Nobody predicted
Hey, Mike,
that.
is this round best out of five or best out of seven?
Five.
Okay, gosh.
Yeah, the next 2 rounds will be best out of five, and then the World Series will be seven.
Man,
My mom's turning 80 this year,
oh, that's
in
great.
December, so and she's going strong. But I don't know if Tommy had told you, I lost one of my dogs 3 months ago.
No, I didn't know that.
Passed
I'm
away.
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Cookie, the shepherd-looking one in the picture. But I just texted a picture to Tommy of my new puppy. I just got Candy. Because she's been so lonely. I've got a purebred German Shepherd, 7 weeks old. She's a beautiful
Is she house trained yet?
I got him in a crate.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they say. And he's going to be a bruiser. Dad was 100 pounds, mom was 80 pounds. So expecting him, ask Tommy to show you the picture and, you'll see his paws are huge.
Not well. Now, who do you keep in the crate? Your mom or the dog? I missed that.
You can't keep my mom down.
No, you don't want to do that. Mine's the same. She's 85 and spry. You know, we had a little tragedy in the family in September with my sister passing.
Yes.
But
I haven't had a chance to talk to you, and my heart goes out.
Thank you, Mike. You know, the worst thing for that, and I think everybody who has been in that position will understand what I'm saying, is watching your mother go through that. I mean, because no parent wants to outlive their kid. No parent. And she had to go through that. And that, to me, was heartbreaking.
Yeah, similar. One of my mom's best friends, she actually, when she came out from South Dakota and located here in California back in the 50s, her best friend and her husband came out with her, and they were like my aunt and uncle, and they had two kids. She has buried her husband 20-some-odd years ago. In the last 2 years, she just buried her son and her daughter just a few months ago. And I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, Mike, thanks. And I just got a picture in on your dog from Tom. He showed it to me already.
Oh, awesome.
I love it. Technology at its best. Next up, let's go to Kathy in the Bay Area in California. Kathy's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Kath, how are you?
Hi, George. It's nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. What's going on?
I wanted to just kind of put like a warning or something with the new Obamacare. I used to belong to Highland Hospital, which is the Alameda County Medical Hospital now. And when the Obamacare came out, they put me on Medi-Cal, which I'm not even old enough to be on. And
still there?
Yes.
And? You said and.
Yes. And, okay, I'm sorry. And so they answer to this medical thing called Alameda Alliance, and they have to get permission for everything. And they're doing the same thing to the people on Obamacare that they're doing to the soldiers. And it's very common to go there and need heart medication, which I did. I did not get it for a month. And then I was given another option, another prescription, and I didn't get it for 2 months because they would not approve it. And so I just wanted to just give a heads out that this is really happening. And one of the other things is that is happening is that the doctors there will tell you to go to emergency, you know, if you have an emergency. And so you go in there, and they are now making these huge bills that were never that big before, and now they're putting them on your Social Security when you die. And it's getting I have never had such bad care in my life.
Well, I'm telling you, too, with the major insurance companies, they will call now on some kind of condition for approval or to tell you what's covered and what benefits. Speaking of health, condolences to the family of Kevin Matheny. Kevin, I never met him, but he was a program director at a incredible radio station in Detroit. I'm on CKLW in Windsor, which is the Detroit market, which used to be called the Big Eight, one of the greatest radio stations of all time. But there's another good one there called WJR, and Kevin was the program director there for years, and he just got promoted through his company to go to San Francisco to head up KGO and KSFO. I used to be on KSFO, and today he died of a heart attack, which just shocked the living daylights out of everybody. Our condolences to Kevin's family. Truly a huge, huge loss there. Okay, back to the phones. We go to Rick in North Platte, Nebraska. He's got one of those horror on old stories. Rick, what do you got for us?
I'm diabetic, and I have a blood monitor, and I was having a problem with the meter. So I had to call the company. I was on hold for an hour and 48
minutes. Oh my God. And you stayed. I guess you had to hang on.
I had to. They hung up on me once, and I was after an hour and 10 minutes. So the second time I made sure I stayed on, it was a miserable day.
Oh, my gosh. And how are you doing now? You doing all right?
Oh yeah. The meter got replaced, and everything's going on the right track. As soon as the first of the year comes around, I'm probably going to switch to a different company.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
You should. That's an hour. Jeez. Unbelievable. They do have a new system now, too, on calls where a computer will say, if you don't want to stay on hold, we'll call you back within a certain amount of time. And they're pretty accurate. And so what you do is you hit a, you know, you hit a number, yes, and then you have to announce your name, and you give them your phone number, and they call you back. The computer calls you back, and, you know, is George Norrie on the line? And your name comes up, and you hit another button, and somebody, a real human, pops up. That's not bad. That seems to work, but... Man, the other stories, unbelievable. Lisa in New York, New York, east of the Rockies. Hello, Lisa.
Yes. Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks.
I'm calling because I have something that is associated with you. I need confirmation on this, and I was given confirmation this morning when I turned on the program, and the lady spoke about the haunted doll, the possessed doll. Well, I knew then that it was associated with you. That same evening, I just started uttering this language, unknown to me. By the time, while I was doing this, I got my phone and I started recording what I can catch of me speaking. As I'm uttering these words, my TV pops on, and the TV starts cursing at me.
Jeez.
And it's telling me to come inside. I have all of this on the tape, George.
Email it to me, okay?
Listen to me. I don't know how to get it out my phone to get it to you to hear.
Oh, somebody's...
So I have my friend's... No, I have my friend's phone, and we'll have to arrange it. Now, why is it that I'm calling you?
I don't know. Tell me.
Why are you telling me this story with this guy on the radio? What are you doing? I got to call him. Well, I'm laying in the bed, and I said, I need confirmation to this. And when the lady came on tonight about the doll...
You must have a haunted doll. So your phone is breaking up a little bit. Some ghostly apparition doesn't want you to get through to us. But definitely, I'd love to hear the audio of that somehow, if you can. Let's go to Richard out there in Cape Cod, first-time caller. Richard, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, George. I love your show. I think it's great.
Thank you.
My story, you're welcome. My story is I was bringing my daughter up to look at colleges a couple years ago, about 3 years ago. And it's a religious affiliated college in Massachusetts called Merrimack. And at any rate, I had talked to one of the fathers up there, and it was like an orientation, or not an orientation, but an open house. I said, oh, how's Father Mark doing? And he responded, oh, you don't know. And I said, know what? And he looks at me, and he goes, he passed on about 3 years ago in a car accident.
Oh.
And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, we toured the school, and when it was time to leave, my wife was driving, and I passed by the church and the statue called Christ the Teacher. And I said a prayer for Father Mark, and we were just approaching the set of lights at an intersection. And my wife swerved at the last minute, saw a car run the light, and got out of the way, and this car crashed head-on into another vehicle.
Ugh.
And we pulled over up ahead and called the police. And it was a pretty serious crash. I don't know the results, but I really believe in miracles. And I think we were saved because of that. And I've had other things in my life where I believe miracles have happened. And I just want to let everybody to know that if you pray hard enough, sometimes they come true.
Oh, they do. There's no question about it. I've talked about my story like that, an intersection story. And it's truly unbelievable. We take your text questions, as you well know. And Tom has one for me.
I do. George, this is from Sam in Salt Lake City. George, the more I hear you talk about this Ebola thing, the more I get concerned. Could this seriously go airborne?
That's a good question, Sam. And that is a serious concern. Medical practitioners will tell you, no, you must get it from fluids, sweat glands, you name it. I don't want to go into detail there. But if it does go airborne, if it has that capability... We're in a lot of trouble because we're talking about not thousands of people dying, but millions of people potentially dying.
George, I have a question for you. Hasn't there been other diseases, though, that they thought were going to go airborne and never had?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you well know, we talked about, and we broke most of these stories years ago, mm-hmm. over the years, SARS, the bird flu, how the World Health Organization kept saying, it's going to be a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all over. And I kept saying, folks, there's two cases in China. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. And they faded away. This one's different. This is a virus that kills. 70 to 90% of the people who get Ebola in those third world nations in Africa die. Now, will medical care be better here? I don't know. You know, those two Americans who came here a month ago had Ebola, they said, and they got cured. So it's going to be interesting to see how medical practice here takes care of this guy from Liberia who is creating this stir in Dallas. And they may have a case in Washington, D.C. now. But if it goes airborne, Sam and Tom, it's going to be a disaster.
And the symptoms are like the flu, right? So there's going to be a lot of people
worried.
Yeah,
but it gets worse. It gets worse. You start bleeding out of the eyes and everything else. Horrible.
Let's hope it go away.
Okay, thanks. Next up, let's go to Frank in Janesville, Wisconsin, on the wild card line. Hey, Frank, you're up with us.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey, I want to thank you for talking me into getting a CC Radio SW.
You are welcome. What a great company.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, this thing is super. It's the kind that I've got the rechargeable batteries. I ordered those at the same time, and I just leave them in there. And when I'm not listening to the radio, I put a charge in those. So if
good.
If the juice goes out, I've always got you on the radio.
Yes, you do.
So anyway, thanks again, and thanks for being there. I listen every night, and you know, I think something big is going to happen.
You can feel it.
Yeah. It's maybe the Lord is ready to come back and straighten this whole mess out. He's the only one that can.
Yeah, so, I think so, too. Hey, by the way, since you brought up some of these things, holiday schedule, November, Thanksgiving, I'll be live. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I'll be live. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, we're going to bring in the New Year's together, we'll be live too. Again, no taped programs on holidays. We'll be live for you. And if a holiday falls on the day I'm not working, we'll make sure that the weekend hosts are live. And if they can't do it, I'll pop in. No tapes. That's a pledge we made back in 2003. And that's the way it's going to be. Look, we're coming up to the top of the hour. I want to invite all of you to go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You can also get to it by just going georgenorrie.com. It is that simple. And those of you who are in the greater Toronto area and even Buffalo, New York, or those of you who just want a trip, make sure you have a passport. Come on up and see our live event in Toronto on November 8th, you can go to the website georgenorrielive.com and look at part of the programming there. We'll be back in a moment. And the on-hold hotline number is 818-817-0021. Hey, it's time for our shout-out to those of you who listen to Coast to Coast on our nearly, are you sitting down, 600 radio stations. Can you believe that? Yes, we will carry the staff in a rickshaw and throw roses at them for this. It's fantastic. So thank you. Coast Insiders, thank you for what you do. Those of you who listen to us on Sirius XM, the Indy Channel 102. Remember, we made the switch to that channel, 102. And then the various chat rooms and groups in there, Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery IRC, those of us who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, the Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our friend Greg, the cook in St. Louis, whom I saw when I was back in St. Louis, and when I go back again for the holiday season, I'm sure I'll see him again. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. So in 1972, when Bobby Fischer and Boris Spassky played for the chess championship. I got addicted to chess. I mean, I loved it. I read books on it. I played the game. I tried to look for people who knew how to play. It was just so cool. And, of course, Bobby Fischer is dead now. Spassky's way up there in age. But it was something that took America by storm. I mean, people got into it. I don't know if you remember that or not, but they did. Well, I kind of like tucked it away. I just really haven't played it in years. Years. I stumbled across a computer chess game where it's free and you play other people. Other people who are online. You don't even know who they are. They got a little name or a funny number. And you play actual computer chess with them. You're given like 5 minutes, or that's a maximum game. That's quick, right? And if you run out of time and you haven't, you know, finished the game, you lose if they still have time on their clock. But unbelievable what technology does now. You play chess with somebody. You don't even know where they are. Hundreds, thousands of miles away, and you're playing on a computer screen. I mean, you're moving these computerized graphic chess pieces. It's truly amazing. It really is. It's fun. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Deanna, who's been on hold here for a while from San Jose, California, has a on-hold story. Hey, Deanna, how are you?
Good. That is ironic, isn't it?
It sure is.
I want to say happy Halloween to the Des Moines Demons in Des Moines, New Mexico.
Okay.
Thank you. And my on-hold horror story was I sat on hold for over an hour for a talk show.
And what?
Michael Savage.
Oh, yeah. Michael does a great job.
And then he went off air.
Oh, that happens. You know, we have a clock here. And we can tell exactly how long people have been on hold. So I generally try to take the person who's been on the longest first, so they don't have to, you know, keep waiting forever. But right at the end of the show, we've still got a lot of people on hold, some of them 40 minutes, an hour and a half, and you say goodnight.
You know, they're all, are you still there? We don't know who he's going to take. You know how the show's going to go, right?
And you know, and just so a lot of people don't really, though you talk to the screener who's calling you to find out if you're drunk or not, you know, and you know, the phone quality, we as talk show hosts really don't know what you're calling about.
Oh,
and wow. You know, other than in your case, you call the on-hold line, that was obvious, but we really don't know, so... You know, in Savage's case, you know, he probably figured, well, I'm just going to roll with these calls, and he should have been looking at the clock, which would have said you were on hold for so long.
Well, thank you for your time, and good night.
And thanks for holding.
Bye.
How long were you on, by the way? About 18 minutes, which is not bad. Next up, we go to Andre in Miami on the wild card line. Andre, it's your turn.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Long time I've been listening to you, hearing about, you know, listening to you. My story is a long time ago. I ended up finding you on the radio, I guess by accident. Okay, now way after that, because, you know, it was years ago, I ended up getting into a little bit of trouble and went into prison, right?
Okay,
now in prison, I went in there and, you know, you feel alone. You walk in there, but the moment you walk in there, you're like, oh my God, this is it. You get dropped off by your family, and when you get in there, you're pretty much by yourself.
That's true.
So once you get in there, you start to, you know, talk to people. A bunch of people go up to you, and they want to, you know, explain who they are and whatnot. And this is all regarding, like, race. As in, just to give you an example, I'm Cuban, mm-hmm. out of Miami, and I got stationed or sent to, you know, a place in South Carolina. Well, once I got there, I was scared, you know, bleepless.
Oh, sure.
I didn't know what to expect. I'm a family guy, very loving. I messed around with the wrong people, and unfortunately, I went inside, right?
Yep. Hey, you paid your dues.
Right. I mean, I knew what I did, but it is what it is. So I went there, you know, my head up high. No kidding. When I get there, inside my little bunker cell, whatever you want to call it, surrounded by other, you know, inmates, people have done, you know, tons of time. We're talking 30 years, 25 years, which blew my mind. You know, I was going to be there for 24 months, but these people had been there for so much longer. Just, you can't even fathom it or begin to imagine it, really, if you think about it. But a lot of the things that got them through was listening to your station.
Yeah. We have a lot of people in prison that listen to us.
Yeah.
A lot.
You know what? I listened to you the whole time that I was there. I would actually, I would have to, you know, wake up in the morning to go to work because, you know, you get a little routine. But
yeah.
I would always end up staying up late listening to the show. I would go to sleep with the headphones on because, you know, it's all about headphones. And then you wake up, you know, you fall asleep to you. You wake up to that world that you're in. But you always stay, at least me, you always stay positive because, you know, it's going to end and things are good and you have people who love you so and whatnot. But I never heard while I was in there anyone call. Obviously, you can't call from prison. But anyone who called being in prison and coming out and then being able to call your show and say thank you for your show. Seriously.
Well, there you are.
Well, you know what? That was years ago. It's, you know, I'm doing great now. Everything is fine. But the reason how I ended up bumping into your show, besides the whole, you know, UFO thing.
Yeah.
And seeing things. Mind you, also, the chemtrail thing is huge when you're in prison. For some reason, I swear to you, you're going to laugh, but you see the chemtrails almost double over the prisons, at least over there. Where
that's interesting. Maybe they're trying to keep people calm or something.
Yeah. Oh, and black helicopters, you know, like we're talking a flotilla, like seven of them that would just fly over. You wouldn't know what to do. But the whole prison life thing, honestly, what it taught me was, like, I came out of there stronger. What it does, you end up being forced to be with people that you normally don't associate with, all walks of life.
Well, that is true. All kinds,
right.
All kinds.
Right. We're talking from millionaires who've been belittled and humbled to, you know, people who don't have a lot and are stuck there with you, and you're kind of like in the middle, at least, you know, my story.
Andre, let me ask you a question about being in prison. I mean, because we have a huge, as you well know now, prisoner listenership, and a lot of dedicated good people who get out and they want a second chance at life and they try. But how do the prisoners react to child molesters? I have a difficult time personally forgiving that. What's it like in prison for those child molesters? Are they treated the same, or, you know, the prisoners go after them? What happens?
Well, so, you know, most child molesters, or I think all of them, at least me, I was in the federal prison system. All the federal child molesters, they end up going to a place called Butner, North Carolina. And there's a wing there just for them, and they keep them separate for their safety.
Because, huh.
Yes,
okay.
It's a huge no-no. If somebody finds out that you're that kind of person, yeah, your life is pretty much in danger.
That's what I thought.
Well, you know what? Rightfully so. I'll tell you this, if you give me a second. For example, you know, they took me out of my house. They knocked on my door. They took me, drove me 2 hours to a prison in the middle of nowhere. Okay, I get there. I'm by myself. I'm afraid. Then I end up befriending a gentleman, right? Looks like a perfectly normal guy like you and I would assume.
Except he's in prison.
Well, but just like me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, right, because honestly, I never thought that I would get there, but there I am. You know, and long story short, there's a lot of people in there who are the same way. They get in there and they're freaking out, scared. Oh my God, who am I going to meet?
Yeah.
You're going to meet the same guy that you are. Scared, just a part of the product. You messed up.
When you get out, do you keep in touch with any of them that get out too?
Yes. Actually, you end up forming a brotherhood of sorts in there. And when I tell you that, for example, you'll meet people that, again, you will not associate with normally. Like me, I was an executive or, you know, a real estate appraiser.
Can I ask you, Andre, what did you do to get in prison? Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah, of course. Well, it was I became an electrician out of high school, and I ended up helping out a friend of mine set up a grow house for marijuana. And it turns out that the gentleman living inside the house was a paid informant for the DEA. And they got me on audio and video, you know, pretty much, you know, rigging or setting up the house with illegal power so they could do what they did. I knew what I was getting into. I was supposed to get paid $5,000 for the job. Turns out my friend suckered me. I never got paid. I ended up going to jail.
You didn't get paid and you went to jail.
Oh, no, it was terrible.
And it was marijuana, too. I mean, it's not like you were out to hurt people.
Well, yes.
Jeez.
Well, again, it was a victimless crime, so I didn't get community hours. I know people who have hurt others. And when you do that, you have to do community hours, as in, you know, pick up trash in the parks or whatever like that. I didn't have to do that. It was just I went through the whole system without knowing. I ended up spending, I think, $80,000 on my attorney. And in the end, when I got there, they're like, "What are you doing? Just plead guilty and get a court-appointed attorney, save your money." But I'm like, "No, I need to get the best guy."
And what are you doing for a living now?
Oh, no, I'm still a real estate appraiser. I buy and sell houses, renovate them.
Good for you.
Very well.
Good for you.
Well, another thing that I noticed there, big thing in prison, at least me inside my head, when you run into a person who doesn't get visitation, doesn't get people who go see them.
Yeah.
That tells you they must have done something wrong when they were outside.
Sure. Or they had a broken family relationship. That happens.
Right. Which, again, you become involved or you end up becoming very good friends or close to people that are, when I say out of your realm, as in they have, for example, I'm an appraiser. I go into a very bad neighborhood, to be very frank and nice, a bad neighborhood where I'm like, I feel like I'm a fish out of water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, I can relate to them. I can see what's going on. Big picture, again, the stuff that you talk about on the radio, it happens exactly the way that you say it or the way that people call and explain it. It's the same way. They kind of keep people down. They feed them, for example, like welfare, insurance, healthcare, all that kind of stuff. They feed them that, but it's not because they like them. It's because they have to keep them happy.
Yeah, they're trying to keep them from going crazy. Andre, I'm going to move on and take another call or two, but I'm glad you're out. I'm glad you're doing well. And he is correct. We have, they don't have rating services in prisons, but we have the highest ratings of prisons. We should take the show into a prison like Johnny Cash took his thing, Tom. What do you think?
I just about to ask you how you feel about doing a show in prison.
I would do that.
Let's try.
Oh, they'd let me out.
They'd love it. It would be the biggest excitement for them, I think.
You think I could sing some Johnny Cash songs?
Like I said, it'd be the biggest excitement for them.
You have a
sure
text
you could. Why not? Yeah, I do. Carrie from Washington State, she says, "Hey, George, I love scary characters. I wanted to ask you if a zombie is the same thing as a walking dead person, or is it more of like a monster?"
I think it's more of a walking dead person.
That's what I've always...
Somebody who has come back, you know, and they have this zombie apocalypse that's out there.
Yeah, I think of monster, I think of like Godzilla.
Favorite Johnny Cash song, what is it?
Walk the Line.
That's good. Mine is It Ain't Me, Babe.
Great song. Great song. Great movie.
Yep. Dedicated to our dear friend, Steve Carr.
Steve. I talked to him the other day.
Steve, one of our engineers, and he would come in. I pick half of the bumper music, and then our engineers, board operators, they pick the rest. And we always used to leave a little slot open for Steve when he came in to do the last hour, and he always picked the Johnny Cash song.
Always.
And I always ribbed him about it until one day I saw Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix, and I thought, you know what? What a great, great life, great story. I started liking the music.
Did you know that Steve actually got to play on a track on one of Johnny's albums?
I heard about that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he'll keep that memory for the rest of his life.
He'll be calling us later, I'm sure.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to Joey in Brooksville, Florida, on the wild card line. Hello, Joey. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to, first, I wish I could afford internet and TV because I so miss, you know, the ancient aliens, and you have that new program on the internet and you could get on.
Yep.
Oh, I so wish I could afford that. That would be so awesome. Anyway, thank God I got my radio. I wanted to talk about the Ebola. Everyone speaks about airborne, okay, and body fluids. What is a sneeze?
A sneeze is airborne and body fluids.
Okay.
It's both.
All right.
I mean, if you're next to somebody who's got Ebola and they sneeze on you, and you get it onto your system, into your body, and the virus is there, you may come down with it. I don't know what your immune system's like, but, you know, there's that possibility.
I don't know why everybody says that it is not airborne. It does not make any sense.
Well, I guess they mean by simply breathing, you know, not sneezing on somebody, you know, to, for example, if you're going to get it right now, someone sneezes, they have to sneeze on you.
Right. A sneeze can protect.
Now, to me, airborne is merely, you know, you breathe and it goes out into the air. Yeah.
Right. You know, I keep hearing this airborne and people are thinking, you know, and you said you're non-porous. And so they sneeze on something that's, like a cart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you put your hands on it and stuff. I know people who, when they go down an escalator at an airport or somewhere, they put their shirt over their hand, and then they hold the escalator. I mean, they will not touch it. We're coming back. Another hour of open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM.